And let's see here. Michael, you want to help us out on this side? Just raise your hand. This is a new guy, by the way. And he drove like 100 miles to get here, but he's real helpful, so we're going to put him to work, okay? Just raise your hand if you would like notes for tonight. And if you don't want to take notes, that's fine, but remember, if you're under 20, I want you to turn the notes in so I can see how you did. If you're over 20, I can't read your writing, so keep your notes, okay? That's how that works. I might want to say regarding the funeral on Friday, the visitation is Thursday night from 5 to 7. For the funeral on Friday, we're expecting a full house. And we want your little ones that really, really, really want to be here to be here. But if you have little ones and they have a lot of wiggle juice, just keep that in mind that we're going to need every available chair, okay? And I hope that doesn't present a problem for you, but I think it's going to be crowded. The ladies that are preparing the meal, I told them we can expect from 50 to 5,000. But usually when it involves a pastor and a pastor's family, we do get a lot of people that show up. So just be thoughtful there and be considerate and try to help us out if you would, okay? Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of people here are a lot of saints of old that have died. I read the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you have your notes there. I read that and preached on that this morning. So tonight I'm going to just have us focus for just a minute here on Hebrews 11, and then we'll be jumping around a little bit later on. I'll try not to be too long because I know a lot of you are tired, but I do want to share some truths with you, and I hope they're helpful, okay? In Hebrews chapter 11, all through Hebrews, it's talking about, it's the great hall of faith. Through faith in verse 3, by faith Abel in verse 4, by faith Enoch in verse 5, and then by faith Abraham in verse 8, and by faith he sojourned along the land. And then we get down here to verse number 13. It talks about these saints of old. And it says, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And then we read in verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 24, by faith Moses. We get over here towards the end of the chapter, in verses 38 and 39 and 40. It says that of whom the world was not worthy to have those saints and those old-time preachers around. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, that's all the saints of old, through faith, they received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, there's a lot to explain there, and there's a lot to preach on, and I'm not going to do that. But I just want you to know that people have been experiencing death ever since the Old Testament book of Genesis all the way through to Revelation or Revelation. It's just a common thing that we have to deal with. And praise the Lord, we can have God in his word to help us dealing with these tough things. Tonight, as I'm sharing with you, I want you to know the highlights here. Roman numeral number 1, the loss of a loved one involves hurt. That's Roman numeral number 1, if you want to start writing. Roman numeral 2, the loss of a loved one involves help, H-E-L-P. And Roman numeral 3, we'll close with the loss of a loved one involves hope. There'll be a few places where I echo what was shared this morning during the Sunday school hour. But for the most part, these are verses that I've picked out and learned that I could apply in my own life, and I personalize them, okay? So I hope they're helpful to you. Let me read another song for you. I would sing it, but I'd like you to stay till at least 6:30. But back in the 19th century, a fellow by the name Manny, now I'm sorry if it was a lady, it looks like a man's name, but maybe it was a lady, Ferguson wrote this hymn. So this is also out of the 1900s. How many of you remember the 1900s? This particular song was written about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can help us in times of sorrow and in times of great grief. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever, makes the trusting heart his home, bringing life and health and gladness all around this heavenly guest. Banished unbelief and sadness, changed our weariness to rest. Like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Ghost is given, coming on us from on high. See, a fruitful field is growing, blessed fruit of righteousness, and the streams of life are flowing in the lonely wilderness. What a wonderful salvation, where we always see his face. What a perfect habitation, what a quiet resting place. In the chorus, blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, how the billows cease to roll. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for the privilege to be with these dear people. Thank you for the help and leadership and guidance of your Holy Spirit as we share truth. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his family and the way that you will work in their heart and life this week, and the way you'll work in the heart and lives of others this week. Lord, tonight somehow, give us an understanding heart, a heart that pays attention. Give us the kind of heart that can learn from your word and lean on your word and throughout the week live by your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would give this old man enough time to put things together in a good order, that you would be glorified and to help these people to have listening hearts and responsive feet to the bidding of your word tonight. We do thank you that we have a country to look forward to, a far better country. We are thankful, Lord, that we can look forward to heaven. And if it weren't for your word, we wouldn't understand that. But because of your word, we do. And so, Lord, just draw us to yourself tonight during this brief time together. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen. All right. I'll probably mostly just fill in the blanks because you people like filling in blanks. And then I'll try to throw in a little bit of helpful stuff along the way. Three fundamental truths about heaven that I have learned. The first one is that heaven is a believable place. Heaven is more than just gravity. It's more than just wind. It's more than sound waves. It's more than electricity. And it's more than memory. Heaven is a real believable place. Now, right behind that phrase, you can put John 14, verses 1 through 4. This is a passage that is commonly read during the committal services at a cemetery. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. One of the reasons I like the word mansions is because some of the newer translations use the word house. There are many houses. But mansions come already filled with furnishings. And if it's a house, then you got to fill it with your own furnishings. So I like the word mansions better, okay? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Heaven is a believable place. A lot of people will tell us, if they can't see it, they don't believe it. And that's what they say about Jesus, and that's what they say about God in the Bible. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. I just tell them to put their finger in a light socket and then ask them if they can see electricity. They're going to feel it. You know, you can't see gravity, can't see electricity. There's a lot of things we believe in regularly that we can't see.
Amen.
But I know that heaven is a believable place, and I know that it's real, and I know that I'll get to see it one day. It's believable. I feel sorry for people who don't believe that. Secondly, not only is heaven a believable place, heaven is a bright place. It's believable and it's bright. Now, after that, you might put down John 1, verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's Jesus Christ. That all men through him, Jesus, might believe. He was not the light, that's John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that's Jesus. And that was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We read in Revelation 21, verse 23, about the great city had no need of the sun, because the light of Christ was sufficient. That to me is amazing. It's a place that is bright, and it's a place that we will see the great light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that it's going to be a bright place. People often ask me, what color was Jesus? Was he black? Was he brown? Was he red? Was he orange? I always tell them that he was probably Norwegian, so he looked like me, but that's not always true. But we do know this, that when we see him in his glorified body, he will be bright. He will just be bright. It'll just be a brightness that overwhelms us. Heaven is a believable place, and heaven is a bright place. And thirdly, heaven is a better place. Heaven is a better place, better by far than any earthly experience we might have. You can write down Philippians 1:23, 21-23. Paul writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not." Paul goes on and says, "For I am at a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And Paul understood that, and you and I should as well, that it's a better place, okay? You can also put down 1 Corinthians 2:9 if you'd like. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." We will be amazed. A little girl one time said, "If heaven is so beautiful on the wrong side, just think of what it must be like on the right side." I think I got that from you, brother. I think you used that in one of the sermons you preached. And that's wisdom from a little girl. If it looks this good from down here, imagine what it looks like up there. Heaven is a believable place, it's a bright place, and it's a better place. Let me give you my conclusions. Roman numeral 1, the loss of a loved one involves hurt. Now, we all know that the mother and the father and the brothers and the sisters hurt the most. That's a given. And grandma and grandpa hurt a lot. And the closer we were to the family, the more it hurts us. But the farther out we go from that immediate family, the less it bothers us. We don't lose sleep over what happened in Mississippi or Texas or California last week. People died there too, but we don't know them. And so we're not hurt by that. We're aware of it, and we should pray for them. But we're hurt mostly by those we're closest to. And that's why the loss of a loved one involves hurt, okay? Letter A under Roman numeral 1, our hurt, our sorrow differs because our hurt includes hope. Now, I covered that this morning in Sunday school. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Our hurt, our sorrow differs, because our hurt includes hope. I mentioned this morning, it's worth mentioning again, a hopeless grief. You know, the world has losses as well. They have death to deal with as well. And a lot of them go into deep grief. But hopeless grief brings bitterness. Hopeful grief brings betterness. And you and I can be so much better if we use the sorrow and the grief along with the Lord to get through these difficult times. Our hurt is different because it includes hope. Secondly, our hurt differs because our hurt is precious to the Lord. Our hurt is precious to the Lord. The Lord goes through our pains and our struggles and our tears with us. Psalm 116 and verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and brothers and sisters and church members, our tears are precious to the Lord, especially when they're tears of compassion. The death of any believer, the death of any saint is precious in the sight of the Lord. It's a precious thing. And we can be thankful that the Lord is helping us during these tough times and going through these precious moments with us. And then thirdly, not only is our sorrow different because of hope, and our sorrow is different because our hurt is precious to the Lord, but let us see, our sorrow differs because our hurt ends in comfort. And this was the passage I shared in Sunday school, 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me just read verse number 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Okay? And so our hurt ends as the Lord comforts us. The word asylum is not used much today. Today we call them care centers and we call them nursing homes. But when I was growing up, there was a large asylum for the insane in the town of Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And we would always joke about if we didn't behave, we were going to end up in Fergus Falls. And the old terminology, that was called the nut house. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's the way we talked when we were younger. Anyway, asylums and hospitals today are full of people who refuse to be comforted. And they refuse to be comforted because they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They reject the God of the Bible. They don't want to be comforted by Jesus. And so they take the medical route or the psychological route or some other route. And they just they don't have the peace that believers can have in a tragedy. They're missing out. Roman number 2. The loss of a loved one also includes or involves help. And believe it or not, this help works in both ways. Not only does what the pastor and his family go through help us, but we are also able to help them. And so it's a two-way street. They are helping us as we observe and watch how they handle it, and we are helping them as we do various things to comfort them and pray with them and sing with them and stuff like that. The reference that you might put there, I don't think this is listed on your paper, but put down James 5, verses 13 to 15. Prayer helps us so much in times like these. Much more than we probably would ever realize. James 5, verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted?" We're afflicted by the loss this week of a church girl. That troubles us. It makes our heart heavy. James writes, "If so, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The importance of prayer is so vital. Letter B, not only is our help shared by what we pray, it's also shared by what we preach. I'm sure Pastor Yoder, the son, and Pastor Yoder, the father, would say when they're not sure what to say, they just preach the word. You can preach Psalm 121 and not have any notes, not have any editorial comments. Just read the psalm and watch it work on lives. There's a great power in just the reading of God's word to a people that are hungry and people who need help. Psalm 121, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many times have we heard that? Over 400 sermons alone on Psalm 23. We're helped by listening to the preaching of others, and if we're a pastor, we get to preach ourselves. Psalm 37, Psalm 61, Psalm 119, and on we can go. Our help is shared by what we preach. There is great healing power in the word, especially for the heart and the soul of the one or two that are struggling. Without the word, I don't know what the world does. When I am at a loss for words and I'm enjoying some blessed quietness out in the parking lot of Walmart or Starbucks, if I'm there, I think about the hymns and I think about God's word and I just dwell on that. There's power and there's healing and there's help in the word of God. And so it's very important to let the Holy Spirit preach to us as we read God's word. Our help, letter C, is also shared by what we practice, by what we practice. Philippians 4 and verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do something, and the God of peace shall be with you. What do we practice during tough times? Well, we send a card to the family. We send a sympathy card. We send I'm praying for you card. Send some money in the card. Maybe the pastor's wife would enjoy spending some money. I mean, what kid wouldn't enjoy spending some money? Money is a good tool. The love of money is the root of all evil, but money can get the family thinking about shopping, maybe instead of all their heaviness. So we can send cards, we can send gifts, we can send flowers. The beautiful array of flowers that were here for Mavis Leonhardt's funeral. It's impressive. There's just something about flowers that give us a ray of sunshine and a ray of joy and a ray of hope. And flowers are important. They speak volumes. Your attendance is just practiced by being here, being at the funeral and being in church. And that encourages every pastor. And when you're not here, he's usually looking around the church saying, I wonder why they weren't here. I wonder why they didn't come tonight. I wonder why that family didn't show up tonight. Your attendance is important. And that's how you practice your faith. And that's how you encourage one another. In the case of deaths like Molly's, funerals help us put important truths in perspective. We, as Americans, have been inoculated by sitcoms, and everything's funny. And I'm just here to tell you, everything is not funny. There's some serious, heavy things that you and I have to deal with. And it's okay to have some humor, and I love to laugh and tell stories, and I love to be happy. But there's a serious side that needs to show up every now and then. And when we have a death in the church family, that makes us more serious. And that is a good thing. We need to get God's word in its proper perspective. There are countries around the world that are praying that Americans would suffer more so we could draw closer to Jesus. And too many Americans are just being entertained, and they're just singing and dancing and dining and marrying and remarrying and soccer and football. And I'm not going to mention hockey because that's kind of my favorite there. But let's be honest. We aren't as serious as a country as we should be. And look at where it has got us. So these death situations, they help us put Bible truths in proper perspective. So there's letter Roman numeral 2. The loss of a loved one involves help. Letter A was pray, letter B was preach, and letter C is practice. Let's go to the final one here. The loss of a loved one involves hope. We mentioned this morning, but it's worth mentioning again. Our hope is strengthened as we focus on our future reunion. As we focus on our future reunion. 1 Corinthians 2:9, you can write that down again. I'm looking forward to seeing family members and close friends that have gone before me. The millions of babies that have been butchered by abortion. I'll be in heaven. And sometimes we forget that. And what a day that's going to be. They're going to need a lot of babysitters in heaven. Because those babies have a special grace in God's eyes. And I think there's going to be kids galore in heaven. And of course, 1 Corinthians 2:9, which I had you write, is a verse I read earlier. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Secondly, letter B, not only is our hope strengthened as we focus on a future reunion with our loved ones, but our hope is strengthened as we focus on our future real estate. We're searching for a better country, a bigger mansion. I live in my friends always tease me. They say, you live in a mobile home? You're over 70 and you're still living in a mobile home? I say, it's not a mobile home. It's a manufactured house, okay? I try to correct them on that. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And I know my mansion is heaven is going to be a big wow. And if I got to live in a tar paper shack or a fish house down here, the Lord will give me grace to do that. But I am really looking forward to some real estate. And I'm going to get that when I get to heaven. And all those that have gone before me are having the same thing. Heaven is so much better than this valley of tears. I hate cancer because it's taken some of my loved ones. I hate car accidents. It's taken some of my loved ones. I hate war. War is a necessary evil. And now our nation of Israel is having to deal with that huge mess over there. This is all a result of sin. And I can't wait to get to heaven and I can forget all that stuff. I'm looking forward to the reunion. I'm looking forward to some real estate. And then thirdly, our hope is strengthened as we focus on our great Redeemer. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. And I agree with Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, I don't want to go on my own without the Lord's blessing. I want to leave that up to the Lord. But I'm looking forward to that better country, and I'm especially looking forward to seeing my Redeemer. I'm especially looking forward to seeing my loved ones. And that gives me strength to keep going. That gives me hope to keep going. That gives me a reason to keep going. And it should you as well, okay? Martin Luther asked if we would recognize others in heaven. I think I said this morning that quote was by Spurgeon, so I'm correcting myself from this morning. It was Martin Luther. He says, will we recognize one another in heaven? And Adam recognized Eve. the moment he saw her, not by explanation, but by divine revelation. And one last quote, two last quotes. Spurgeon did say this. He was asked, "How far away is heaven?" And what do you think he said? "Heaven is only one sigh away." Isn't that good? Isn't that interesting? Heaven is only one sigh away. If you've ever watched somebody expire before your eyes, it's that last, and they're with Jesus, if they're believers. That's amazing to me. Just one, and they're gone to be with the Lord. If they're not, I'm going to be praying for them, and I'm going to be hoping the best for them. And I've already read the last quote about the little girl who said, "If heaven is so beautiful from the wrong side, imagine what it looks like from the right side." And that's my challenge this morning, or this evening. I'm still a little twixed up, calling the evening service the morning service, and I try to stumble through my notes. But I hope that on Thursday night and Friday, you will help out where you can. And I hope that all week long, you'll be praying for the Yoders as they recover and adjust. Their lives will never be the same. But God will give grace, God will give strength, and God will give them and us a peace that passes all understanding, so we can enjoy the blessed quietness and the blessed presence of our Lord. Let's stand and have a word of prayer, and we'll let you go.